DavidRenehy.com. It's a great website. The man himself has so much insight on what's happening in the heavens. He joins me. Hello, David.
Good morning, Mr. Bilko.
What is going on? We've found, and this is amazing news. I saw this come across my desk 2 days ago. 36 years after the Challenger tragedy, they've actually found some debris from it, which is probably news we didn't want to hear, but they haven't really recovered a lot of that space shuttle from back in 86, have they?
No, not really. No, a lot of it's in a hangar there at NASA, but what the hell good that is. It's not going to do anyone any good. But this is an amazing discovery. Some divers from the History Channel were making a video on their underwater there near Florida, off the coast there where NASA are, and they came across this big shiny panel covered in orange tiles, and wonder what the heck this was. And it was covered in dirt and sand, but they moved it off and realized this is part of an aircraft, some sort of an air vehicle. And they thought maybe NASA knows something about it. Well, they said, yeah, it's part of our Challenger that blew up in 1986. Do you remember where you were? I think most people do.
I think it was just out of high school from memory.
Well, look, I remember watching it on the telly there. This shook the whole world up.
Yeah.
Bad part about it was Krista McAuliffe was one of the young ladies, a teacher in America, who put a vote in. You know, NASA said, look, we want to send a teacher up. And hundreds applied to it, and she got the draw.
Did you have a say? So you said you got a vote in her going up there.
Sorry?
Did you have a vote in her going up there? Wow.
No, I didn't have a vote.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
You had to vote to, you know, she went there and was voted in by the panel.
Okay.
She was accepted by the NASA panel to go up there to be the first civilian to fly in space and a teacher. Now, here's something not many people know about. That could have been John Denver.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yes, what happened?
Yeah.
He decided he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, John Denver applied for it. He wanted to be the first civilian in space, but he wanted to write a song in space and bring it back here. But something happened a few weeks before, and he pulled out. Now, wouldn't you feel lucky about that?
Yeah.
And she got the... look, the sad part about this is there were three engineers sitting in the control room that morning, very early in the morning, cold, freezing cold in Florida. And they realised that the O-rings were a bit of a contentious issue. They were worried about the booster's O-rings not sealing properly. And they said to the NASA authorities, we don't think that this should launch. Can you please put it off? And the hierarchy of NASA said, no, everything's okay. The makers, Martin Thiokol, said it's fine. Anyway, here you've got a vehicle with seven people on it sitting on a bomb. I mean, here's a huge fuel tank full of liquid oxygen, liquid hydrogen, and two solid rocket boosters beside it. Well, when it launched there, we saw what happened. The boosters failed. The seal failed, and heat got through to the main tank and blew it up. Now, this is the sad part about it. And panning down to the crowd is what I remember seeing, the face of the mother and father.
Yeah.
That tore the guts out of me. But Bob Everling was one of the technicians at the time, and he left NASA, and so did the other two. Quite a few of them left after this. Closed the whole program down for 3 years, and he went home, and his life was spent in guilt and grief over the fact that he didn't do anything. He said he could have done more, should have done more. But he just recently passed away, by the way, at the age of 89. And he said, before I die, I'm going to go up to God and say, why me? Why pick me? He was that grief-stricken over it, but he was saved by the boss of Martin Thiokol, one of the representatives there, called Bob, went to his home and said, you're not a loser. Because Bob thought he was a loser. He said, oh, I could have done more. He said, I'm bad. I could have been a winner. What could he have done?
That's the thing. What could you have done?
But he felt he should have because of what happened. And the boss said, look, somebody, a loser is somebody that doesn't care, doesn't do anything. But you did. So Bob Everling died at 89, and thanks in part to the assurance from the McDonnell Douglas rep who spoke to him about that, he said he died relatively unburdened by the question that haunted him for the past 30 years, did he do enough? What a sad situation for those engineers that sat there and knew exactly there was something wrong with it. NASA could have put that launch off. It wouldn't have hurt them. But it was going well for years. It had no problems, no fault.
And that's the thing. You become blasé. You think everything's all right.
Complacency. yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, it's all over now. And by the way, not many people understand or realise that there are no salvage rights for the space program. If you find a satellite or bits of a satellite that came down, or if you find the panels of the shuttle, like they did here, they've got to be handed in because they are the property of the United States government.
Okay, more of that. And we're looking forward to that documentary, obviously, no doubt, reliving. It's, what, 20, 25 years on. So it's even more than that now. Is it 86?
Oh, goodness, be 30-something.
Yeah, over 25 years. Anyway, Elon Musk, of course, in the news about his stupid Twitter blue tick at the moment. You got an article at davidredeker.com about Elon's electric roadster, the cherry red Tesla roadster, going through space. What the hell is that all about? Is he taking it into space or something? Is he?
Well, it's been there for quite a long time. Many years ago, his cherry red Tesla.
It went into space.
Okay. The roadster that he owns, he said to NASA many, many years ago. This is a long time ago. He said, I want to send it to Mars. He said, when I go there, it'll be ready for me to drive. I mean, here's a guy who's got a lot of, get up and go, and he knows how to get the advertising, free advertising. This gave him massive advertising. So NASA said, no, Elon, we can't let you do that. You can't just go and dump things on Mars, because when we get there, it could be full of germs. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, okay. He said, I'll put it into orbit and shoot it around Mars. Is that okay? They said, yeah. So this is now in orbit. Now, when it was launched there, funnily enough, because of he is who he is, he's eccentric. There's a mannequin sitting in the driver's seat, called Starman.
Okay.
And on the radio, the car radio, was that song?
David Bowie song.
Yeah, Space Oddity.
Oh, God.
Playing on the radio. And this thing is circling around there. Can you imagine whoever gets this picks it up? It's done quite a few kilometres, by the way. Anyone who gets it, you'll be able to sell the thing. It's got 1,000 million kilometres on there, but it's still in pretty good nick.
But is it guaranteed? This is the thing. What if it gets colliding with a meteor or another, or alien ship or something?
Yeah, it could. It's circling Mars, comes back, swings around the Earth and shoots out again. And a lot of people worried that this thing might come careening through the atmosphere one day and land in somebody's swimming pool. It is possible, but there's a very slight chance of it. That happening. Even if it did, a lot of it would burn up. But look, this is Elon Musk, and it's now been officially categorized and classified as a near-Earth object, like some of the major asteroids out there are.
So he's polluting space with not only Starlink satellites, but now he's got a car up there, great. speaking about Mars anyway, David, of course, dust storms are a big part of life on Mars, so even his car probably wouldn't survive the amount of dust storm damage that would occur if it lands on the planet. This wind power, is it something we can utilise in a Martian colony down the track?
Yeah, it is, and I know that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but I'd explain that. Do you remember the movie The Martian? Did you see that?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, well, when you saw the wind blowing everything down, it just completely destroyed his habitat. That wind was really exaggerated. You don't get them that strong. The speed of the wind on Mars can get up to 200 km an hour, probably more. But it's only very thin. It's like you breathing gently on your arm and then blowing really hard compared to what we've got compared to what it's like there.
So, 200...
so the idea is we're going to have a colony on Mars. We're going to have a base there, and they've got to survive. And you've got to have power. Now, how do you get power? Well, you get it from... We could put solar panels up there quite easily, and the whole kit and caboodle could run quite well. To run an average colony up there of people, 6-7 astronauts, to keep them going, you need 80 kilowatts of power. But what if they were covered in dust? And they can, because we've already lost a rover. One of the rovers there was covered in dirt, and that's now dead because it couldn't charge its battery.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Opportunity rover. So what they've come up with, engineers are looking at putting those big turbines, those big wind turbines. But the only problem is on Mars, because the wind is not as powerful, you're going to need a bigger blade. And they're talking about 50 metres wide.
Oh, right. And you'll need to have a light material as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but look, 50 metres wide is a major engineering undertaking to build that and more of them. So engineers said, maybe we can go down in size a little bit. But they did their calculations. And if you use rotors with just 10 metres in diameter, which is quite feasible, unfortunately, to run the colony, you need 142 turbines.
Okay, that's going to add a lot of, well, that's going to add a lot of pollution to the Mars landscape, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when we go there, the first colonists on Mars are going to have a lot to deal with, so we've got to work a way around that. I think they eventually will. I think sunlight is the way to do that and have a way of cleaning the, you know, but one thing about Mars a lot of people don't know, you can get dust storms that envelop the planet, and they can stay there for months and months at a time.
And that's going to cut out the solar radiation.
And that would kill your power, yeah.
Okay.
So working and living on Mars is not going to be an easy task.
No, I reckon wind power is probably the way to go. We'll have a look at that at davidreneke.com. And one final thing, David, those who look skyward, we got the lunar eclipse last week, which was great. The Leonid meteor shower. Now, you're saying it's going to dazzle what more than ever this year? Is there a change in tack or orbit on the Earth or something?
Well, it's the better one of the year. Bilko, it's the best one of the year. This is happening now. The early morning hours are the time to get out and have a look. The Leonids is an annual meteor shower, and it does, not promise, but in a lot of past years we've seen quite a few fireballs associated with it. Now, a fireball is a slow-moving meteor that burns up and melts right before we arrive. Spectacular to have a look at. And you could get to see a few of those. I don't know, but either way, if you've got clear skies, and we don't really at the moment, you've got to get up early. This one comes in late in the morning, around 3:30, 4:30. So it's pretty good for shift workers or somebody that can't sleep, or maybe you guys who get up and do brekkie radio, you know, or mid-morning radio. You might be up early. Go ahead and have a look. I mean, that's going to last for another week now.
Okay.
So the trick with watching the Leonids meteor shower is to get up and rug up, grab a chair, lay back and just look towards the east and give it a little bit of time. You've got to put at least maybe half an hour.
So instead of looking west, young man, we go east. I love it. All right, David. More at davidreneke.com. Have a look at the lineup to the web and the links and all our socials. Till next week, mate.
Talk to you then.